my incarceration impacted my direct family because they were ashamed of what I did, because on one side of the family, there's no one who's ever been in prison. So here I come, and those people ostracized me all of my life, all of their life. You know, most of them are dead and passed, you know, they passed away. I finally was in touch with two people who are really related to me, and that's my sister and my cousin. One's in Topeka, Kansas, the other is in Orlando, Florida. And they were, you know, well, my sister's 11 years older than me, but my cousin, she was around the same age as me, and she just got lost in her own life. And because we weren't raised together, I guess it never occurred to her, you know, to say, well, damn, I wonder what happened to Marie. And then one day she did, and for the past 7 years, we've been in each other's lives. It impacted my children the most, because at one point, both of them felt that to tell their friends that their mother was in prison for life for murder, that gave them the rite of passage through the people that they were associating themselves with when they were younger. When they grew out of that, then it became an embarrassment because they didn't want people to know. You know, like I wanted to call my daughter's teacher, and she begged me not to because she didn't want her teacher to know that she had a mother in prison. My son, before he passed away, he thought the world of me. Now, as my daughter does now, you know, we're not as close as we could have been had I not, you know, got in this trouble. But it's really taken a toll on my children the most, and that's why I think that it was important to me to do something for these children, because they suffer. We do the crime, they do the time right along with us. They're out there serving the other death sentence too, because they're not with their parents, mother or father. I don't give up because my fourth great-grandfather was Red Scott, and that's one of the things, his situation is one of the things that keeps me going the way I do with the courts. You know, I strongly feel that I'm determined to make this United States Constitution apply to me too, one way or the other, the same way he did, just under different circumstances. You know, there's people that write me at least once every 3 months of someone whose life I've changed out there after coming in here and serving time with me and being my roommate or being in one of my groups. And that's the kind of thing that makes me be able to get up and say, life in here is worth it because I am saving lives, even from myself. It's incumbent upon me, even though I can't bring back my victim, it's important to me to do something to make his death not be in vain. And that's what I try to do with leaving, you know, who I am. When people say in the street, Beachy, you know, they know who I am, they know what I've done. And that gives me great pleasure to know that I've made a difference in people's lives, that I've even saved lives in here because they've written me and said, I stopped doing that. You know, I don't walk with a gun anymore. You know, or I'm not out there selling my body or selling drugs. And it just makes you feel so good when you hear a good story. If I was talking to a legislator right now, I would tell them that keeping me and those like me in prison without a chance to go out and show that we are penitent people is defeating their own purpose of keeping us in here, unless it's just for punishment. I understand the rehabilitation concept, but if you're going to rehabilitate us, then what are you rehabilitating us for? To sit in here and stop other people from committing the kind of crimes that we have? And if that's so, then we've done that. So obviously, we're putting out that production of people that you want out there. So why not give us a chance, too? You know, you tell us to do the right thing. Well, we're asking the legislature to do the right thing and make a bill for lifers. Give us a chance like you give hundreds of other lifers in other states, thousands of other lifers in other states. We're not saying that giving us a chance to go for parole is going to give us freedom. It's not like we're going to be paroled. We can't even get a chance to talk for ourselves, face the parole board. And we just want that chance to be able to have the right to present our package to them and say, this is who we were and this is who we are now. Can you try to give us a chance? Our recidivism rate for the few of us that were able to get out before the former Governor Ridge's era, none of them have come back. So why not take a chance on us? If you come in here with me for one day, I promise you, you will not look at me the same way you look if you read a piece of paper and didn't know who I was. It would be impossible to come in and visit females serving life and not come away from them feeling like, God, this is crazy. You have these women in here, and they're no different than we are. You know, I don't know how many people that I've heard say that they would love to have me live next door to them. But you don't know this because you don't frequent our prisons. We're so far up in the mountains, no one comes up and talks to us. If you just come up here and talk to us, even that would make a difference. Don't look at the paper. Look at me. Look at my face. Listen to me. Talk with me. Just give me the chance to talk, and I'll make the rest of the way.